Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, it's Lulz. And of course, we have many things going on within our spheres. We have Utical having an interesting interview over with Adam Levitan on ETR. We have poker drama, Doug Polk stirring stuff up, phishing scandals to catch up on. We have Gambling Awareness Month. It's just going to be a very Lulzy show. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What? Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brian, the people want to know, how's your bracket doing, man? How's the bracket doing?
I had Tennessee.
Me too.
Oh, you did, really?
Well, not to win it all, but I believe I had Tennessee to the Final Four.
No, yeah, I had him win it all. I was just going for a solo, hopefully solo, or just a couple people picking the winner and just, praying. They got farther. I was getting lucky. We were getting lucky there for a while with all the number ones and twos getting knocked out, but
yeah,
couldn't hang.
Could not hang. Appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat. Little later start time today. I was just doing a stream over on Fantasy Life. As Anthony says, there was a man in our draft who took 8 straight quarterbacks to start the draft. That presented a unique challenge. PSA, use your restraints for your positional restraints when you draft, Brian.
I took Felipe Franks in like the 7th or 8th round in one of mine because I was testing my app.
Yeah,
and it's not ready for prime time yet, for sure.
Not ready for prime time. Yeah, I mentioned it, your app the other day because we were on the club, and Andy8052, he had created a little Chrome extension for Underdog where he could max enter a contest. He was basically getting sick of having to manually click enter, and basically found a way to save himself 15 minutes a day. But I'm excited. I think over the course of the summer, we're going to talk a little bit more about the tools you're building. I know some people are worried about what this means for the best ball space, but I feel like at least what you're doing, what are you comfortable sharing with what you've been working on right now?
Why don't we just wait a week?
Just wait a week. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. We will wait a week and we can talk a little bit about, obviously people know the draft caddy that we were using last year. You could display your exposures and stuff, but Brian's kind of kicking things up a notch this year. So we'll see how that unfolds. Did you get a chance to catch the Utical interview on ETR?
I did.
Were you shocked he doesn't use Sims?
No, I know. Ricky D knows him a little bit. And we talked about him like at the bar once, and he told me he doesn't use Sims. So I knew, although his process did seem who knows what he's revealing.
Right.
So, but his process did seem pretty, I don't know, ABC to me, which is like, he's just one of those kind of, petty theft type of guys who pays attention more than everyone else. See, Petty, what'd you think?
I found I just found inconsistencies to like some of the things he said where it's like, he was like, oh, I don't spend near the 80 hours, which I love that Adam gave the wink in there, but he's also doing everything on his own with his own team, and it's like, oh, I don't use Sims, but I'm able to like scale my process for all these different sports. It just like not all of it added up to me in a way that like made sense of how he's actually executing at a high level at this volume.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say that too. His process is much simpler than mine. This is Travis. For those listening at home, his process is much simpler than mine. I don't believe it. He's a sicko. Yeah, maybe something else is going. Like he's not like letting the cat out of the bag on something. That is definitely one thing Pete just mentioned that I'm like, how do you get that much volume down on like across? I think he plays multiple sites. Mack Lovin's the real sicko, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of volume. And like they play like the whatever, short slates, you know, all the sports and stuff like that. It's a pain in the ass with the tools I have. So like you figure just entering, he would have more than he kind of let us to believe.
And like another element that just didn't quite fully add up to me is he did kind of like concede, you know, I don't want to put exact words in his mouth, but it was kind of like, you know, the edges are drying up. Even the top players, the best ROI you could expect is maybe a 5% ROI, or saying that would be a realistic one, and saying that is why he was more willing to kind of now come on and share things. And yet I actually found his responses of what he was willing to divulge to be very close to the best and very ambiguous. So I was like, wait, are you toward the end of the road with how profitable DFS is, or are you just so hardwired to not give up anything that even though you're letting go, you still can't bring yourself to reveal anything?
Yeah. I kind of believe him though. Like that in terms of like, obviously the game's getting harder, but it seems kind of like I don't know. Did you get this sense that he was kind of insinuating that he's going to tone it down coming out here in the next year or two, and maybe just not play DFS, who knows, in a couple of years?
Because I think that's Adam asked him a question along those lines of like, you know, where do you see yourself like in a year or two? And I think he said like, you know, whatever's the next like peer-to-peer gaming thing or like in the markets or whatever. It did seem like the tenor of that interview was almost like the chess is okay thing. Like when he came on our show, still had one foot in the world, one foot out, but was kind of exiting based on what he thought the ecosystem provided him from an edge standpoint. And I got a very similar tone from how Yuta talked about it.
Yeah. And this past year, we talked about it on a couple shows ago. What did he win, like 5 millimakers or something? I can't remember what it was, but just a sick millimaker run. Not a bad time to kind of phase out your game, you know? So he's running hot. He's kind of getting sick of it. Bound to happen. Yeah. Game's getting harder. I'll do some interviews finally. And maybe you're right. Maybe he's just like so trained himself to just not say anything that he's not really giving anything up. But certainly it just seemed very ABC, and he makes his own projections basically. Maybe that he didn't really get into.
This is exactly what Travis is saying in the chat here. It's not easy to go from never talking strategy at all to doing an interview. I'm guessing he was keeping things close for now, but will be more open in the future as he gets more comfortable. And that definitely tracks, like basically no exposure anywhere. There's an old Roto Grinders article floating around that he did an interview. And then he did that AMA in the ETR Discord a couple weeks back. And then of course just did this show. So I definitely take for granted sometimes how comfortable we get just naturally discussing topics because we do it all the time. But for people who aren't used to that, there's probably a shell that they have to be comfortable coming out of.
Yeah. He also was kind of a little wishy-washy on. He said he like worked with someone, but then doesn't work with anyone. Not wishy-washy might be the wrong term. But like, cause I work, you know, with somebody like coders, like, is that what he's talking about? Like, you know, paying people, or did he have like another DFS pro that working together in the whatever the those, you know, the Kobe for MVP and Cheddar Biscuit, blah blah blah, who won the Millie last night, though, that like that kind of working together is a lot different than, you know, paying a coder.
And one thing's for certain, like if he's not bullshitting about how, I don't know, bare bones his like quote unquote team and process is, like you said, he's not paying a coder. He's not paying a team. He's not, you know, all this stuff. Like his margins must be insane with the volume he's getting down, having won multiple millimakers. Is his overhead cost an optimizer and a few subs to, you know, various projection systems? I mean, that's a pretty good ROI.
That's what it sounded like. Did it? I mean, am I crazy? It sounded like he basically just kind of makes up his own projections, you know, does like an hour or so of listening to podcasts and stuff, specific podcasts for research. And then maybe he mentioned like that other players use game theory, but he doesn't use Sims. He didn't do anything special for late swap.
Yep.
I mean, pretty much everything that's the modern, whatever hidden secrets or whatever, I don't even know what the right word is. He doesn't do any of it.
Well, and that's why it's hard, right? Because at least like you or Nerdy Tenor, you come on and you're like, I don't know how to describe it. I press a button and the sim spits this out. I can wrap my head around that. Or Travis Petty or Chess is Okay come in here and they say, I roll up my sleeves and I'm getting my hand in the dirt, projecting rotations, consuming every single bit. Okay, I can wrap my head around that. But when you're in this amorphous middle ground of like rolling up your sleeves, but also using advanced processes, but I don't know exactly which one it is, that's when I'm like, what is actually going on here?
I'm interested. Honestly, it's got to... 80 hours a week. I get it. Okay. You put in 80 hours a week, but he didn't really have any. It's just pretty ABC. He basically spends the same amount of time I spend, but I have, you know, thousands of lines of code to do it for me. But then he wins everything. So
I guess the one thing he did admit that he spends a ton of time on were NFL Sundays. He said like he waits till later in the week, but then we'll spend like hours on a Saturday night getting stuff ready and then getting up. I think he said like 6 a.m. or something, which would give him what, like a 7-hour lead time, depending on what his time zone is before lock. So he is like putting in some manual hours there. But still, like to do that across multiple sports, multiple sites, you are then approaching Chess is Okay levels of hours. And it didn't sound like he was willing to say he was.
Yeah. Well, he said he'd do our show. So maybe we'll follow up here and see if he'll come on and try to answer some more questions. Maybe he'll be more comfortable with us because we're so much, you know, more fun than Levitan.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Levitan just serving up these little softballs. No, you come in here, Yuta, and I'm going to drill the shit out of you. I'm going to give you the DFS equivalent of a waterboard torture until you reveal what advanced processes you're using.
We're going to have Petty and Ricky D fact-checking his answers in the background. Like, no. In 2017, you didn't play that guy. We got the proof right here.
I think that's the real reason, Brian, that you don't go to any live finals is because you're worried about getting shit-faced and like cornering these guys in the back of the bar and asking them what their process is.
Yeah, well, I would get shit-faced. That would happen.
Travis says, something I found interesting was his ROI comment. I think he mentioned 5% is pretty good. Did he mean cash?
I think he said 7.5%. And he wins at 10%. So he's probably everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone could win at a 80% ROI level. All right, Travis. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get Yuta on here. Don't worry, Yuta. I'll at least butter you up with a few softballs before I go for the knife. So we would love to have you come on the show and hear more about it as you go on the media tour. Brian, also, I don't know, have you been, we've talked about poker drama in the past, but there's a lot going on right now. It's like Doug Polk's at the center of it, and some of it stems from the Garrett Adelson, Robbie hand, and then there's this new thing with Berkey and claims of, it actually, I thought the Berkey thing was interesting because Doug is basically calling him a scammer for running a training site, but also saying he's not beating those games. I feel like that's an interesting thing that comes up in like DFS tout culture a lot, as well as like, can you be qualified to sell information if you aren't like a profitable person in the games you're actually touting? So I don't know. That's throwing a lot at you, but do you have any takes on the drama going on in the poker world?
Polk's really pumping his lodge, his poker lodge, getting a lot of press for it. That's my initial take. Good job.
Then he's offering up $100,000 just free roll to basically that guy airball from the Live at the Bike games to go head to head with Berkey. Like they both were talking shit about each other. Doug is just willing to do $100,000 marketing expense to get them to come play live head to head at the lodge.
Huh. And so airball's calling Berkey fraud too.
Wait, now am I mixing up the, I believe so. Yes. Yeah. He called airball called both Garrett Adelstein and Berkey, and I was getting them mixed up, but yeah, he called Berkey a scammer.
What was there ever any, conclusion or to the, what's her name? Cheating scandal.
No. And that was part of the podcast that that guy airball did with Berkey or sorry, with Polk. I'm getting all these names mixed up, was that there was never any evidence that came out. And Robbie is now like playing in these games again. Garrett Adelstein still maintains he was cheated, but there has been no conclusive evidence that has emerged either way.
Huh. I always thought that one was less like for sure than the Crash Ripper guy.
Yeah.
Postal.
Yeah. But I do think it's like, what do you think about that concept though? And G highlighting Doug Polk qualified that he didn't think he was a scammer in the sense he was dishonest, more that he was a fraud, that he wasn't beating the game. Like if you have a training course and also, you know, things like things in poker and the games you play, stuff can change soon. Like you could launch a poker training site, be beating the games, and then in a year, not be beating them regularly. Like what responsibility does someone have selling DFS stuff, selling a poker course to actually being like profitable at that very moment?
That's a kind of an interesting question. Like the, I think like if you, let's say you're the exact same information you're giving out, like let's just say it provides the same amount of value, but you're like really popular and people want your product more. Like I'd be fine if they charge more for it. I don't care. The more people, more demand, you could raise the price. Now, do they know how much value, does Polk even know for sure how much value he's providing each person? And it also too, like, what if I'm an idiot and I buy your thing and I can't win from it, even though it's good info? Are you responsible for that?
Right.
He would probably say, I would just refund someone who's upset or something like that. I'm so far out of the poker content game. That like back in the day, I would have been like, okay, this site's pretty good. This site sucks. You can watch these videos on this site and this one get, you know, cancel this and then use Deuces Cracked for a month or something. I don't even remember that site.
Well, it is funny. We've talked about it before about the kind of the interest levels in poker right now and the meta, right? It used to be these outsized personalities, the Phil Hellmuths, the Doyle Brunsons or whatever. That's what pulled people in. These guys were like TV characters like that walked out of the movie, The Maverick or whatever, and started playing cards. Now the meta for poker attention is beefs, like beefs and scandals. I should say those are the two things that really get the juices flowing in the poker community. And Doug, of course, like knows exactly what he's doing, right? Like if you're bringing attention, like he can put together sick lineups at the lodge, but leaning into the beefs is going to be what brings him the attention. So from a content standpoint, what Doug is doing makes a ton of sense, but it does feel very cyclical with poker. It's just like, these two guys don't like each other. One says they suck. The other says they suck. All right, heads up for rolls. And we just rinse and repeat that forever, I suppose.
I mean, there's really not many options you can do here.
You
know, it's just poker. You can't go like, let's play a full ring game and I'll beat you after 10 years of data.
And I think I even saw someone, I don't know. It was one of the best ball guys I'm reading and maybe inspired by the poker thing. Oh, maybe it was Herzig that put out there, like it would be fun to have like a challenge like that. And of course we've attempted some of this in DFS, right? Osimo and Empire Maker squared off. That was probably the closest we've gotten to kind of like a marquee heads up for rolls thing. But it's just a much harder to execute and get fair parameters in DFS and in fantasy than it is in poker.
Yeah. It's there's a lot, we've talked about it before, but there is a lot of differences I wish we had in DFS to make it more, entertainment worthy.
Mm-hmm.
and heads up for rolls is definitely something where people can wrap their heads around. That Polk Negreanu challenge, I watched like half of the hands in that, and I hate poker now, you know, and it was still like, I got to see what's going on here. And it like made you want to learn heads up, no limit.
Yeah.
But I mean, in DFS heads up, yeah, it's not as cool. I kind of still like the EM2 Osmo kind of format. Like six, you know, 10 man GPP, something like that. There's a lot of like game theory in that. Even if you could get all 10 guys to get in on the bet. I mean, they already are if they're all playing it, but so I don't know why you can just play higher if you wanted. You don't really need to bet each other. I guess there's no vig, but like that is kind of a skillful. It's definitely like a skillful challenge. Like those smaller, like, I don't know, 8 to 20 size GPPs that I'm just not sure people will like it as much. I don't think people care.
I think it would be, and we probably mentioned similar ideas like this before, but, you know, if DraftKings like cared about the ecosystem or like growing the game, like even providing kind of the guardrails or the infrastructure to host those kind of competitions, you know, would be really cool. Like you get the top 10 in the world and you set up, you know, almost like, you know, tent pole events of like this contest for MMA, blah, blah, blah. And maybe it's vig free or whatever. And you're kind of like facilitating this idea of these guys battling against each other. And then you make content around it. And then people are intrigued and they're following the standings and all this stuff. Like, it's a no brainer for like growing the DFS ecosystem. But as we've said before, they just have no desire to do that.
There's personalities too, and like in-person footage back in the ESPN days, like you know, Mike the Mouth and stuff like that. So just like what what's that genre called of TV, the MTV
reality show?
Reality shows, yeah. It's very like reality show-ish that you do not have with DFS at all.
No. Which is a bummer because we do have DFS personalities. Like, you know, we don't necessarily have the venues to kind of pull those personalities out. But like Empire Maker versus Osimo, I mean, you want to talk about two guys who you can like sketch their characters on paper. Like if you gave that at a table read to someone who's reviewing a script, like the nerd with his Sims and stuff who crutches DFS versus the I know better, feel more bro-y DFS guy who also has success. Like that story tells itself from like a character standpoint. And that's why it was like the closest we've come to something like really fun and entertaining in the space.
Yeah. The goat series that DK tried, like, there needs to be more of that, way more of that. Remember we had the Phil Gelfond house, poker house idea for DFS. You stick four or six DFS bros in a Vegas. Oh, you can't do Vegas because DFS is illegal there, but you know what I mean? Somewhere fun for a month, 30 for 30 or whatever that was called. Three, 2 months, 2 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Gelfond because I did just see this tweet pop up. Apparently he's arbitrating, like trying to get this Berkey and Airball heads up match. I love Nick Airball here. Says, dude, go suck a dick for 25-50 buy-in. You know, Gelfond saying, hey guys, heading to bed. Ball is in Berkey's court. Nick says, I hope you sucked it. Good bitch. I mean, just really positive conversation going on here between these two. I love Gelfond just spending his time mediating just like this total pissing contest.
And Nick Airball seems like a reasonable person.
I know, which is funny because he did come across in his Doug Polk interview as like a fairly reasonable one, but at least in the Telegram or WhatsApp streets, doesn't seem so much.
Hmm. Why don't they fight?
That's what they really like. Forget the poker. Let's just do the Olivier Bousquet like MMA style throwdown instead.
You know, I was thinking this year we could do for DFS the Tout Wars is do a best ball Tout War.
Yeah.
Do the same thing we did last year. I did or whatever on my, but just ever we'll draft a team all on the same day.
Like, yeah.
Maybe we'll do it live on the show or something.
Yeah.
And it could be for charity, I guess, if that's what people wanted, but
yeah, it would be, you could do some fun stuff too, where it's like, you know, it, assuming people were like 150 maxing, say Best Ball Mania, and then being like, which group had more teams finish in the top 500 of the regular season leaderboard or something. Like, you could have some like fun, you know, games like that to see like which tout war group, you know, had the highest ROI, like under certain specific parameters.
Could you, can you make on DraftKings, can you make like a 100 person tournament?
Yeah.
And do 10 mans or whatever.
For best ball or for DFS?
Best ball.
Oh, best ball. I'm not sure. I thought you were talking about the private leagues on DraftKings. On underdog, you can make 12 person individual leagues. Yeah.
You can't do it like 100, like 100 and whatever it would be to even it out.
I can talk to them because I've been wanting to do like some smaller tournaments. Like, I'd love to have a Deposit Kingdom contest that's like a 3 max, you know, like, I don't know, 1500 entry contest for the Discord, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying season long best ball. 100, whatever, 190, something like that. And then it would have some playoff format, you know, similar to the regular thing, just way smaller.
The thing that's hard, I think, and this is actually one thing that is tough for like best ball content in general, is it's hard to like engage like the sweat and the tracking. Like, come week six, everyone's just like, well, we'll check back in week 13 to see where everyone settled, kind of thing. Where at least with like DFS events, it's as they come along, there's like, oh, there's a new contest everyone's participating in, let's see what happens now. It's just like, it's hard to maintain, because even the Spike Week guys, like, they invited me to, they called it the Royal Rumble, and 12 of us in the industry drafted, and fucking Pat, of course, won, as if winning Best Ball Mania wasn't enough. But even they had grand plans to like build enthusiasm over the year and make content. But it's just like, it's hard to draw up enthusiasm for something that happened in July that's going to happen regardless of anyone touching it, you know?
I guess, but I mean, for the Tout Wars, I think we could do it. I think we can shame these guys into playing. You know, touts want to win. The ETR, think about it. ETR hired bots to vote in our polls, Pete. They almost took you down. You versus, was it Leone or Levitan?
I went up against Hoop.
I know they cheated me. Leone definitely used bots to beat me.
Yeah. You were running your own poll. You could jerry rig it however you wanted, and you still lost. I mean, tough scene, Brian.
I thought Elon was going to get rid of all the bots, but clearly he didn't. The ETR bots are still strong on Twitter.
Speaking of, has anyone figured out what happened with Hoop leaving Run Pure? Was there any like follow up on that?
Anyone in chat? I think they just,
conscious uncoupling.
That's a good.
I don't know. I didn't get the tea on what happened there. G says, I like the idea of custom scoring. We can set up a theme each week across a multi-week challenge to make it more exciting and build narrative for coverage. And that's the other thing too. Like, you would need the stakes and the incentives to be there, right? Like, you need a reason for Brian to want to check in and make a lineup specifically for this 25 person contest. You know, like, you need to have that incentive. Otherwise, if it's just some like random little thing you do in the background, it'll never have like the heat that it needs.
Are you talking about the Tout Wars idea?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it's best ball on underdog, it's, you only draft once, you're done.
Right. But I guess I was talking more about the DFS one style thing, but I'm just saying, you would need there to be some fun stakes or prizes to incentivize caring about it.
Yeah. DFS. I don't know if there's a good solution for that.
No. Other big news around our parts, and I forget the first time we talked about this story. What was the first time we talked about this phishing scandal?
That was a while ago.
But we did get some conclusion here. Two fishermen caught cheating at Ohio tournament, and they do plead guilty. This log line here is just incredible, or this lead. Two men accused of stuffing fish with lead weights and fish fillets in an attempt to win thousands of dollars in an Ohio fishing tournament last fall, pleaded guilty Monday to charges including cheating. Just when I thought, you know, humanity couldn't get, you know, any worse. You got guys cheating in fishing competitions, Brian.
If you look at the fourth paragraph there, he also agreed to give fifth. I'm sorry. No, that's fourth.
Oh, sorry. I can't count.
Also agreed to give up his bass boat of $100,000. These bass boats should not cost $100,000. I'm looking for a boat currently, and they're so ridiculously expensive. And bass boats are just like these stupid little John boats, and they're so expensive.
Is the risk worth $28,000? Because that's what it says. They would have received a little over $28,000 in prizes for winning the tournament.
If I remember this story correctly from last time we covered it, they've been doing this for years though.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's more like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They finally got caught. Wow. Wild. It does just go to show any kind of thing where money is involved, people will do whatever they can to win.
And guess who caught him? The other fisherman.
Right.
Right. It's just like gambling. The best detectives are the players.
It's great. I really don't remember. I don't remember the impetus to us talking about this the first time. Maybe some Lulz historians could remind us.
I can't remember. It's a crazy story though. I mean, yeah, cheating and fishing. I mean, the money's enough where it's like, okay, I get it. But like, if it was more in the $20,000 range, that's it. Like, let's say it's $2,000 or something. It's like, you're fishing. I was just telling my mom about this. When I was in the Little League All-Star team, like we won the first round and we made it to the second round. Our town like had done that in 20 years. And my coach cheated and brought younger kids on our team.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you accomplishing here? Like,
yeah.
So you win some extra games at Little League. Are you going to be like, oh, I'm so proud of this? Like some of these guys who cheat at a fishing tournament that where there's no prize or Little League. And it happens all the time everywhere. They're just fucking weirdos.
I mean, I guess the stakes are slightly higher, but like my high school basketball coach got in like some hot water for like recruiting stuff too, where he was skirting some of the rules for bringing in kids from other districts and stuff. And it's like, this guy was already a tenured, basketball coach at my high school, had been there forever, had even won a state championship too. So it's not like he's getting fired if he has a down season and still feels compelled to like compete or to cheat and potentially risk his job just to have like one slightly better team or player on your basketball team. And it's like, is the juice really worth that squeeze?
No. if he maybe is like, he can get a college gig and then eventually, some crazy guy like that. But if he's like 55 already and, it's over for him, like that's just insane. And then the other thing too is like, what about the kid who now doesn't have a starting job or doesn't play because you're fucking cheating? Yeah, me too.
You're talking to him.
I played a lot less in the second round because there was all these like 15-year-old kids on our team.
Maybe I was the whistleblower. Who knows? No.
Crazy thing was when I was telling my mom, she didn't know. No one knew. So none of the parents found out. This guy just cheated.
Goodness.
Yeah. So like, I guess it was different times back then. Now you can just like text your mom. Hey, there's some like older kids here, what a fucking psychopath. Really? It's insane. And just a normal, nice guy. You would never just, if you went to the, saw him at the whatever bar or something, you'd be like, oh no, hey, good to see you.
It reminds me, there was this big news story, at least here, and I think it went semi-national. There was like this murder in Cohasset down on the South Shore in Massachusetts. And this guy basically murdered his wife. And he had been arrested previously for forging Andy Warhol paintings. And he had like gone over to like, it was like Korea or Japan to like get these fakes and all this. And he ended up making like $40,000 from it. And I'm like, if you're going to like forge a painting, don't you want it to be like the fucking Mona Lisa and you're getting like millions of dollars of this? I mean, this guy doing so much work to get arrested to make $40,000. Like, the things these guys will do for a little bit of money and the risk you take on in doing so, it's just mind blowing.
That happens all the time. The amount of effort people put in to tiny gains when they could just try at something else and just make tons of money. I had someone DM me the other day, like a University of Michigan student or something, like, you know, they're like, how can you get into DFS? Do you have any advice for me? And like, it's nowadays, honestly, with you, I agree with you, Dakal. Like, I think there's no reason to, you can like spend your time elsewhere. Like, if you're smart enough, you know, to like, he was like a data analytics major or something like that. And if you're smart enough to beat DFS somehow after, you know, spending a year or two trying to figure out how to do it, you could probably make a ton of money somewhere else. Now, it might not be as fun. So, and you know, give a shot at it. But like, I would probably say at this point, the party's over. You missed it. You're kind of like trying to start poker in 2012 or something.
I think I agree. The one thing I think you can always say, and you see a ton of it now, of like, if you want to use DFS in fantasy as like fun subject matter to teach yourself new skills, right? Like, if you wanted to learn to code or learn how to do a model or whatever, and it's like, yeah, you could do it about weather patterns in Venezuela, but that's not going to be as interesting to doing it about an NBA slate. Like, as long as you're doing it from that approach, as far as like acquiring a new skill, I think that's like a really sharp way to do it. But if you're going in like, this is where the edge is and I'm going to make my 5% in DFS, that's probably pretty short-sighted.
Yeah. Or like, I want, after college, I'm going to be a professional DFS player. It's like, yeah, I don't think you want to, just get a job, get your degree. Even though degree's worthless, maybe quit your degree, but go to figure out another way to make some cash.
Yeah. I mean, and I get it. Like, it gets romanticized, right? Like, it's the same thing happened with the poker people. Who doesn't want to have a living where it's just like, oh yeah, you just make DFS lineups all day, and then you watch the games at night and you rinse, repeat. What a life.
There's also like, you could be the next Pete Overset, theoretically. Who knows? You know, you could get a gig with Better Collective or something like that. You know. So there is other avenues out there. Although that stuff's really hard too, to even get your foot in the door for those jobs. And it'll just,
you mean
get
just
hard.
Doing like content in the,
yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's no big deal for us, but like, if you're just some guy, like, they're not going to put you on a show. They're not going to let you host the Swolecast.
Well, it's like the old paradox, right? It's like never been easier than now to make content, right? Anyone can start a blog, a newsletter, a podcast. Like, the equipment, the barrier of entry is so, so low. And yet, to stand out and then to actually monetize that or make a living or work for a site you really want, like, that's incredibly competitive and incredibly saturated. But I think it's cool. Like, I see it in the best ball space a lot too now. Like, people don't feel the need to get permission now to, or the validation needed from like, oh, I'm streaming for this site. It's like, people just fire up their own streams. Like, I think that's cool because they're getting the validation from, hey, this is just something I want to do. I have an interesting perspective, or I think this would be fun. I don't need X site to pay me $25 a stream to validate that I'm like worthy of this, you know?
Definitely. There's like one caveat. If you're a maniac and you obsess with things, like, you get really good at whatever, I don't know, some other game, Magic the Gathering, who knows, whatever. You're just, even like selling shoes or something, I don't know, where you're just in the 0.01% of something, you know, then maybe go for it, you know. But if you're not that person, then maybe not. What did you just say though? I wanted to piggyback on it.
About not needing the validation of like a big site or whatever for putting out content.
Yeah. I just love the idea. I just love like YouTube in general, just, or social media, where like, even it's kind of related to gambling. This point is like, cause me and you don't have to have real jobs. You know what I mean? I love that. It gives people the opportunity to get out of that treadmill, mm-hmm. that was here for 70, 80 years, where you just like, yeah, my dad got a job at the factory. Now I get a job at the factory, and then my kid will get the job at the factory, you know?
The one thing I'll say about the flip side is there are trade-offs to everything too, right? Because like there was like part of your, you know, I don't know, like you think about like your mental health or your security of like, hey, knowing I have this job, this paycheck, and we could also argue that there's no safe job right now, just considering the economy and how many major corporations are making massive layoffs. It's literally every day there's some other huge corporation that laid off 10% of its workforce. But that aside, you know, just knowing that you have that consistency of like, hey, that paycheck's going to be there. There is a benefit in having that versus when you are solo and or like me and getting revenue from different streams where you don't know like what my revenue is going to look like in a year, where that's going to come from. Like that is the other side of it, is yeah. being willing to kind of deal with some of that uncertainty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like my conspiracy mind goes like, Pete, that's where they want. That's where they get you. That's where yeah. they get you. You know, like they want to limit or shut down the crypto markets. They want to limit and regulate the shit out of the social media part, but, right? Cause they want you, it's better for the state when you have a steady tax income and you're unlikely to move, because that's like guaranteed revenue they could count on year in and year yeah. out. And, but I mean, it is true. It is pretty nerve wracking. And there's a lot of, maybe, I don't know about in the content industry, but I'm sure it's there, but definitely in the gambling industry, guys kind of losing it, mental health wise.
And I do think it was Bales that, or I mean, I'm sure other people have wrote about this, but he was the one I remember kind of like synthesizing it too, of like how it is sometimes backwards that you think of just your one job of being the safe route versus having, you know, I have probably like 8 to 9 different income streams that comprise my income. And like, if one of them went away, well, I would still have the others. Where if I lost my old day job, it could take me months and months, maybe a year to find a comparable job that works for me elsewhere. There's almost like a lot more risk in that kind of configuration at times.
Certainly. Yeah. And I can't pronounce the name, but the union jobs guy, it's like, I mean, I know plenty of guys who work union have been laid off all the time. If you can get in the union for a state gig, that's pretty secure, assuming you're on a lower bureaucratic level and not in the higher level. Because the higher level, you'd have to be, they're all connected. And if a different party wins the executive branch, you'll probably get fired. But like the lower levels, they have some pretty good security. But I think you're more right, Pete, where it's like, I mean, we all know, I think when I was in college, I took a course and they said it was like between 7 and 8, 7 point something average careers for the amount of careers for the average adult in their lifetime. They're like working lifetime. I don't know, who knows what it is now. I would guess it's probably more than back then.
Yeah.
But either way, like, a lot of those are voluntary leaving and leaving for a better job, but there's no guarantee. I mean, it's the definition's at will, right? Literally at will, yeah. Like at their will, they can fire you whenever they want, unless you're Lamar Jackson.
This is a good point from Shady. He says, I think I've said this before, but one of the other things for me is lacking the self-control to take time off if I'm relying on daily DFS play for my only income. And this is the other prong to the point I was trying to make too, of if you are doing, say, a 40-hour week where that's what your employer requires, and then you are off the clock those other 40 hours. When you are doing your own stuff, I deal with the nagging thing. There's always more I could be doing. There's this thing I could be working on, this seed I could plant that might help me out down the road. Like when you are kind of navigating your own path, that constant pressure of like, you could be doing more, you are entirely reliant on your future success and income. Like that is its own weight.
That'd be nice to get like an app or something as a reminder app, kind of like, I always wanted, I think I told you this idea. I wanted to build an app of like stories that like put life in perspective. Like there's like this old Korean, this is during World War II, this Korean man, and it was, you know, one country back then. They weren't in the war, right? But they were taken over by Japan. So he was conscripted to fight for Japan, you know, against his will, then taken prisoner by the Russians, conscripted by the Russians to fight. They sent him over to the Western front. then taken prison by the Germans, who conscripted, this is a real, I can't remember his name, but you can Google this, conscripted to fight against the Americans. He was conscripted by all these different, and he survived all of them, and we took him prisoner. And he ended up through some process somehow, because they were like, how is there a Korean soldier? You like probably Google Korean soldier in German Nazi whatever uniform, and he'll pop up. And he made it, and they made it all the way to America. They let him stay here, and he lived in a town right next to where I grew up, Westmont, Illinois. And I always think of like stories like that, like when you're complaining about getting in your DFS lineups.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan in the chat saying Cosmic Insignificance is my jam. But that's a reference Bales twice anyway, out here, but
like, go ahead. Like just a bunch of stories like that. And then you just wake up every day and there's just like a brief story about, you know, that kind of puts life in perspective, and it'd be good like for that, for the, like something too, like slightly different, but variation on getting your shit done as a self-employed person would be cool. Mm. And I got to say really quick, Shady Advice, did you win the 100K last night in NBA?
Is that their username on?
I think so.
Well, there you go.
Seems familiar.
If so, GG. Nice job there, Shady.
And plus there's nothing that gives you those confident fingers in chat after winning a nice 100 ball. You know, you're like, yeah, I'm feeling good. Let me give some thoughts here. Everyone probably wants to hear them. I'm so smart.
There you go. T-Tid here. This is another element. Says, I play poker for my income and dabble in DFS. I wonder if I'm wasting my time with DFS because I don't play with the volume many do that are pros. And this goes back to that whole thing too. Like, I don't want to make assumptions for T-Tid, but I'm guessing like DFS is fun and it's like almost like a hobby thing. But then you feel the opportunity cost of not devoting that time to something where you are making your income. And that's a huge other thing to wrestle with. It's like leisure and things we enjoy. It doesn't even matter if it's just fucking playing video games. Like, there is value in that too, for your own mental health and enjoyment of life. And yet we all feel those pressures of like, we need to be wringing out every last bit of EV and money making potential we have with every waking second of our lives.
I would say like, yeah, probably not. You probably would, unless you're doing like that, like kind of like, what's it called? Overlay hunting.
Yeah.
And, playing the smaller sites, but even the smaller sites are tough now.
Yeah.
The guy's name was Yang Young Jung.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was the Korean soldier.
Not to cut us off here, but I know I need to get running. You have something to go to. We had to do a shorter.
Davis is sending me messages right now.
God damn. Davis, if I knew it was Davis I was ending this show for earlier, I would have just kept blowing right past our end time. All right. I appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat. Sorry we have to abort this early. We had to start the show a little late on my end, ended a little early on Davis's end. But we will be back as usual every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Anything else on your end, Brian, before we power this down?
Nope. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Peace.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.